Sport on Highland, brought to you by michaelmurphysports.ie. Shop 24/7 with nationwide next day delivery.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of the Score programme tonight. Coming up later on, we'll hear from Martin McHugh as he talks off the field Gaelic games. Martin, of course, was recently appointed to the CCCC at Croke Park. Plus, young Donegal jockey Dylan Brown McMonagall tells us about what his hopes are for 2021 as the horses get back onto the grass for the season ahead. But in the first section of the programme, we're going to split it into two. It's League of Ireland Premier Division football. We'll hear from former Finn Harps goalkeeper Gavin Cullen shortly. We'll get his thoughts on Harps game this weekend, which of course is against Dundalk on a Friday evening. It's game two in the new season in the Premier Division for the Harps as they head to Oriel Park. They will of course be buoyed by that winning start against Bowes last week, but Harps boss Ollie Horgan is expecting a tough evening at the office tomorrow. Ryan Connolly, Carlo Sullivan, Connor Barry and Mark Timlin are all out, so changes will be made to the Harps starting lineup. I've been speaking to the Harps boss today ahead of the trip to Oriel. So, Ollie, one match down, you're heading into the second game against Dundalk on Friday evening, but I'm sure there was a bit of a spring in the step of the guys at training this week because, in fairness, it was, I suppose, the best possible start for you to this year's Premier Division.
Yeah, we got a similar start last year, but didn't back it up, to put it that way to you. But, yeah, it was a good start. We bet a side that you know, would probably fancy that they could win the league, and they may still, but look, that's kind of in the past, Rushing, where we're looking to Dundalk away from home, which is a much more difficult ask again, although Bowes at home is a difficult ask as it was.
Yeah, and already one game down, we're talking about injuries, Ollie, and you've got quite a few of them to start things off.
Yeah, we did. That was the downside of Saturday night. We picked up a few injuries, some of them not maybe as serious as what we first felt. One or two of them, unfortunately, look like it'll be, you know, you're talking about maybe a month or two rather than a week or two. But look, you can't have it every way. For once, probably we have a bigger panel of lads that are, there's not much between any of them. And, you know, maybe it'll be easier to keep the panel happy this way than having everyone fit, to put it that way to you. But we'd love to keep everyone fit because we need them come the 36 games, don't you?
Yeah, there'll be a few changes then, obviously, to your starting 11 on Friday evening.
Yeah, they will, but the possibly would have been anyway. You know, yeah. It's not necessarily the same team, the same shape that go out week in, week out. We change it regularly. We change it during a game, and we certainly change it from game to game. So there probably would have been a number of changes anyway to you know, this, as I said, there's very little between the number one and number 22 of the panel. And, you know, we probably would have changed it up a little bit come Dundalk either way. But we've no choice in it now with the injuries that we have.
Yeah, well, we get to see a bit more game time then from some of the newer faces to the panel, Lolly and Freddie.
We'll see what way training goes tonight, and we'll make a call on this tomorrow before the game, obviously. But, like, we used 16 players on Saturday night, and, you know, all of them contributed very well, and I've no doubt we'll use 16 again come tomorrow night.
Yeah. You mentioned training tonight, Ollie. You've got a game tomorrow. What sort of session do you have the evening before a match?
It's obviously a light session, Ushin. Just basically trying to prepare for the game, and rather than any physical, you know, endurance of any sort, we do that earlier in the week. But that's always been the case. We do our session as near as possible to the match day, to, you know, things will be fresh and they'll remember, hopefully, what we have done the night before, and we need to do it going up against the quality of Dundalk away from home.
Yeah. How big an issue is there to kick off, or is it a bigger issue than, or is it a less of an issue rather than what the media make it out to be, Ollie?
Well, we have, like, not with the full-time players, no, absolutely not. They'll play any time, anywhere. With the part-time players, a lot of them work. A lot of them, instead of taking a half day, tomorrow we'll obviously have to get off a full day to get to Dundalk and early enough to have a pre-match meal and obviously for a quarter to six kick-off. But, like, we can't have it every way. You know, we complained about the midweek games, so many of them early in the season over the years. At least that's been rectified. But look, we'll take it. If we don't get a result tomorrow night, we won't be living on it.
Yeah. So what sort of challenge are you expecting tomorrow night, Ollie?
Huge challenge as it always is. You know, we've had bad days in Dundalk. We had a relatively good day last year where we scraped out a draw, and probably ultimately that kept us in the division. But it'll be hugely difficult at this stage of the season to get anything out of there. You know, if we don't make a good start, it could be long even as we've had before. But basically, it's kind of a free game machine where, you know, we'll have a cut off it. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, you know, we'd need a hell of a lot to go our way to get something out of this. And well, please God, it can happen. However,
yeah. you can take something from the previous draw, like the game in October last year.
You can, yeah. There were slightly different circumstances then. It was towards the latter end of the season, and they were competing in Europe, in the Europa League, or trying to get to the Europa League. So there was a lot of chopping and changing at their end. They're physically and football-wise a serious outfit. I mean, they're the best side in the country over the last 6 or 7 years, and they've added serious quality from albeit lads that we don't know too well, people from other countries and that. But we need to stay in the game, Oisín, to put it out to you. Otherwise, it'll be a long even should we concede early.
Yeah, if you're going to try and trouble Dundalk, how do you go about it, Ollie?
I wish I knew the answers to that, Oisín, to be honest with you. You know, you've got to gamble in some ways. If you sit back all day, they'll pick you off. They might only beat you one or two, as they've done before. We'll have to take chances here and there to see does anything open at our end in their goal. Yep, it could leave us wide open at the other end as regards our own goal. But we'll have a cut off it to a degree and see where it gets us. I mean, we got a great draw up there last year, but exactly this time last year, we played them at home. We took a cut off it in the Bettis 4-0, and we played well that day. That's what we ended up with. They're a serious outfit. They're right up there. They fancy themselves to win that league. They won the cup, obviously, and they're in the Europa League. But it's great to be talking about the Mushing, and it's great to be going there again.
Yeah, just defensively, Ollie, Kosovar Siddiqui was very impressive last week, and obviously Dave Webster wearing the captain's armband for Harps, solid at the back as well. That's a position of the field I'm sure you're content with, and when you go into a game like Dundalk, yes, you're going to have problems, but if your defence is sound, you're in with that real chance of getting something positive out of it.
Well, yeah, I hope you're right, but, you know, tomorrow's going to be a more difficult ask away from home in the Astor turf up there, and, you know, they have quality up that end of the field with the likes of Pat Hooban. Obviously, Patrick McAleamy, Shane's brother, is with them, Mickey Duffy, you know, out of Derry. Like, they've got serious quality, and I'm not saying Bowes hadn't, because they did, but this is away from home in a difficult place for us, and we'd need a lot of things going our way, both defensively and at the other end. We'll probably have to score to get anything out of it, to put it that way to you. And it's been a while since we scored up there.
Yeah, just finally then, Ollie, two away games before you're back at Finn Park. What would you like to get out of both of these matches, or what's the realistic target out of both of these?
We haven't set targets, Oisín. We never do, and we're not going to start now, to put it that way to you. Obviously, we'd love to get a result in both of them, if not one. But that itself would be easier said than done, and going away to Drogheda the following week is a hugely difficult task as well. Probably a different challenge in what they have. And look, we'll worry about that after tomorrow night, to put it that way.
Okay, Ollie, the best of luck in Dundalk. Thanks for talking to us.
Take care, bye.
Ollie Horgan, looking ahead to Dundalk, which is tomorrow. It is, of course, a venue that could be a daunting place to visit, but Harps did get a draw on their last trip to the home of the Lilywhites last October. Can they pull off another result like that? I've been speaking to former Finn Harps goalkeeper Gavin Cullen, who says there's no pressure on Harps going to Dundalk.
Yeah, I suppose Dundalk over the last 7 or 8 years have been, you know, at the pinnacle of the League of Ireland. They've been the standard bearers, you know. They're probably going through a bit of a change at the minute in terms of squad, and they've changed a lot of players over the break. So they're probably a wee bit unknown in terms of budgets and size and club. They're probably still expected to challenge for the league. But look, I'd say Harps going down there the last few years would have been fairly daunting. I think after last week's result and getting the 3 points on the board, it frees them up a bit to nearly not give them a free shot at it, but gives them less pressure on a result at this stage of the season, you know.
Yeah, and in your playing days, what sort of venue was Oriel Park like to go to? And it was a London Dock team back then, so it was, Gavin. But what was Oriel Park like to visit when you were between the
The last time we were there was, I think, they just introduced the AstroTurf. I think it was 2006, 2007. So like, at that time, and any time we played them, it was either in the Premier or the First. They were sort of very similar to Harps in terms of a yo-yo club at that stage. They were up a season, down a season, or whatever. So they were nowhere near what they are now. So I'm not too sure the changes or what Oriel Park's like. But it was always a good venue to play football at. But I think it's probably moved on a lot in terms of the players and the quality they have at the moment. You know?
Yeah, if Harps were to get a positive result, Gavin, what's it going to take on Friday evening? They did play a nil-all draw the last time they were there, and I think it's fair to say if they got that again, that would be seen as an exceptional evening. So it would. What are Harps going to do if they're going to try and pull that out again?
I think from last week's game, I think defensively they've been really sound. I think if they go down, and they'll have to ride their luck a bit against Dundalk as well, but no, and catch them on the break. But I think they have the players to create things and as well. So I think like they'll be delighted with a point, but there's no reason why they can't take a point this week. There's no reason at all.
Yeah, two difficult games for Harps, both away from home, because they're back in County Louth against Drogheda next week. Now, if you were to get a point or two out of both of those games, that would be seen as okay then. So early in the season, would it, Gavin?
I think Ollie would take out of 5 points after three games with the fixture list the way it was. I think he'd take your hand for it. But again, Drogheda are a promoted team. I don't know a lot about them. Just reading what they've been saying in the media, and they've signed a lot of players, a lot of new players, a lot of experienced players. But again, I don't think Harps will fear going to Drogheda or anything like that. So like this game, look after yourself. If they get something from it, there's no reason why they couldn't go to Drogheda the week after and go for the 3 points, you know.
And then, of course, they'll be back at home. They certainly will be looking pretty with 5 points after three games. There's a sort of expectation around the county in relation to Harps this time around, Gavin, that they're not going to be seen as a side that's going to be out of an automatic relegation place or in the playoff spot. So there's an air of anticipation that Harps can knock on and improve from last year. What's your view on that?
I think so. I think from after the COVID shutdown and they come back, I think they had a great run of form last season. And it looks like it's bringing a confidence and bringing a belief into the squad coming into this season. And they've obviously kicked on from that. They've signed some very good players. They've kept some very good players. And there is an expectation that possibly, you know, and even coming from Ollie himself, which is good and positive that they can push on and they maybe can get another place or two up the table. And it'd be brilliant to see them sustaining Premier League football for a period of time where they can build on it, you know, but then that's up to the club behind the scenes and stuff then to push on to see how far they can go. Because it takes a lot of fun, a lot of money, and a big effort to actually climb that league in terms of professionalism and stuff. So it's difficult. Like, I personally don't see them in a relegation scrap. I think they're better than the Longfords, the better prepared Longfords, the Drogheda's, possibly the Derry's, you know, at this point in time. But again, time will tell.
Yeah, you mentioned Derry there. Not the start that they wanted last week against Longford, but it can be a difficult opening day when you're playing a side that's just made the jump up to the Premier Division, and we've seen that with Harps in the past. But I've seen some of the media reports suggesting that already, that the Derry fans are putting pressure on the management around the brand new, which is a bit unfair. So it is. It wasn't the start they wanted, but you would expect Derry to be doing much better as the season goes on.
Of course, no, it's a poor start for Derry. By all accounts, their performance was poor as well. It lacked fight and lacked appetite. In terms of pressure on the manager, suppose you're always going to get that at a big club like Derry. There's expectations. I think it's unjust at this point. I think Declan's a very good manager. I think he's had trouble with a massive turnover of players since he's came in. And again, it's a fairly new squad at the minute. So I think he has to get time. And I know they're trying to build with young players, even. The squad. I looked at the squad on Saturday night that they have. There were 7 of them players in that squad that were playing in the Ulster Senior League against us last season, which is a big, big step up for them players. And then there's a lot of new players that probably were slightly unknown. So it has to get time. In terms of have they the squad depth to to push on. I'm not too sure. I think they will struggle this season, to be honest.
Yeah, it's all about building around the Brandywell. Yeah. Can Sligo knock on, maybe, Gavin, from where they were last year? Because they had a brilliant end of year, got into Europe. They'll be looking maybe to go top three now.
I think so. I think the top three or four, I think for me, it'll be Sligo, Dundalk, Shamrock Rovers and Bowes. I think Sligo will certainly be in the mix, and hopefully so. They seem to have a huge squad of players and really, really good League of Ireland players with experience as well. So, like, time will tell. They had a good start against Dundalk, and I think they could push on for Europe again this season.
Yeah, Liam Buckley's a good manager, but he's been given the time and he's been allowed the time over the last couple of years at the Showgrounds to develop that panel.
Yeah, look, it's to do with any manager coming on to a football club wants to take his own ideas and take his own players to a certain extent, you know, so it doesn't happen overnight. But at the same time, if there's money and funds available for that manager, becomes a pressure, you know. But Liam Buckley's been around, I don't know how long, 20 years as a manager in League of Ireland, so he knows the ins and outs of it. He's been successful, and he looks like he's doing a really good job at Sligo at this point. Yeah.
Okay, just finally then, Gavin, we're going to touch on the Ulster Senior League, because you did mention that a few moments ago that there was a number of players involved in the Derry setup that played against you last year. We're still waiting to see if we're going to get the go-ahead for the football, Gavin. Coghill going for their ninth Senior League title in a row. Are you hopeful that you will get playing ball at some stage in 2021?
Oh, of course, definitely. It's been incredibly frustrating 12 months for everybody in sport and general life. You know, it's been a nightmare. At this point in time, I would be hoping to get some sort of announcement in the next month or so from the government that outdoor sports and training and all will be allowed to start again, because I think it's so important to society that happens for other issues in terms of, you know, mental health and fitness and just the social aspect of sport. In terms of getting matches, like, that'll happen when it can happen, when it's safe to do so. But in my opinion, like, the sooner the better, and it's incredibly frustrating. You know?
Obviously, you have to plan for a season, even though you don't know when it's starting and when you can get a group of players back together again. But obviously, you're assembling a side that you want to retain your title with, Gavin.
Yeah, we finished the season last year, I think mid-July we finished, and we started pre-season again then 4 weeks later for the new season, which was going brilliantly. I assembled a squad of about 26 players signed, very, very strong, looking very, very sharp. And then we were shut down again, and we got training again then in December. Again, there's another mini pre-season as such, and then we got shut down over Christmas. So I have a squad of one or two, possibly, and when we get a go-ahead, we'll get them in as well. Very, very pleased what I have. Young, energetic, lots of quality. It's probably as an exciting a squad as we've had since I've taken over. On the training pitch, anyway, we've been very, very good. It's just the guys are chomping at the bit to get on the pitch and play and see what we are, because it is a new team again. But, like, again, it's up to the government and up to what's happening. You know, there's a bigger picture out there, but the sooner the better for everybody, you know, looking forward to it.
Yeah, listen, Gavin, hopefully so. We will have football back really soon. Gavin, many thanks for joining us this week on our League of Ireland section.
Good man, Ashley. Thanks very much.
Gavin Cullen, the Coghill Celtic manager, talking about when he hopes football will be back and they can go for a ninth title in a row down in Coghill. And, of course, we got his thoughts earlier in the piece as well, ahead of Harps game against Dundalk tomorrow evening. We will have updates from that match as from the 5:45 kickoff tomorrow. The first one will just be after the 6 news. David Hollywood will be at Oriel Park for us tomorrow to keep us abreast of the action there in that Premier Division game. Let's turn our attention now to Gaelic Games, and we are, of course, all awaiting the announcement next week as to where the government's going to go in relation to coming back with the restrictions, rather, and easing the restrictions, if they ease them at all, in relation to sport and in relation to Gaelic Games as well. The likes of the soccer, the League of Ireland and the rugby, they're all deemed as elite, but GAA has not been deemed as elite, so we're all eagerly awaiting to see what Croke Park are going to have from their discussions with the government and what the government will say next week in relation to the easing of the restrictions, if they are going to ease them or if they are going to allow inter-county football back. There's also the big question as well about club football. When can club football return in the north? They're due to come back training in pods of 15 on the 12th of April. So the club players will have a bit of an advantage when the time comes, because they could possibly have up to 2 months more work done than the other 26 counties on the island of Ireland. There's one man now that has a position in Croke Park, and he's part of one of the important committees at GA headquarters. That is the Central Controls Competition Committee, the CCCC. Martin McHugh, of course, was appointed by Larry McCarthy after he was named as the new president of the GAA. Martin joins us now on the programme. I'm sure, Martin, it's a big honour for you to hold the position and be part of one of the boards now at Croke Park.
Oisín, you know, it's a great honour, you know, and to be asked in the first place, you know, and suppose from the point of view, I don't know, you're happy or not with it, because it's probably people would tell you, and anybody who's been talking to have said it's a, you know, a difficult enough job. But the one thing I'll probably have to do, Oisín, is change my phone number, so I don't want any managers or anybody else ringing me or looking for anything else, favours or anything else. But on a serious note, yeah, it's a great honour. But suppose everything's been done now, the minute on Zoom calls and everything else, and we haven't had any meetings yet, because suppose like everybody else in the country, we're waiting on the government to make a decision on what they're going to do, and hopefully we'll know that by that next Monday or Tuesday. Hopefully, please God, we'll know where we're going.
You could have a busy period, Martin, when football does return, because part of the CCCC's, I suppose, responsibility is that of scheduling and arranging games. And I suppose everybody's waiting away to get these games back on board again. So are you expecting a busy term once things get up and running?
I think it will. It's for 3 years. So hopefully by the end of this year, hopefully everything will be, I'll be back to the way we're used to, you know, please God, from that point of view, Oisín. But I just think that, yeah, it's going to be a busy time, but, you know, most of it said will be done on Zooms. And then there's a lot of people, you know, people in Croke Park that help out a lot, and, you know, they look after everything, and, you know, they correspond with you and all that there with all the different committees and different people and everything else. So, yeah, working well together. And so everything will be done, you know, hopefully. It'll be difficult if we don't get the go-ahead next week. Oisín's going to be very difficult for everybody. Hopefully, if we do get the go-ahead that from an inter-county point of view to go back training and that, you'd feel that we'll be able to maybe hopefully get every competition played before the end of the year. And that's what, you know, that's what the way that everybody hopefully will be thinking.
Yep. And Martin, from next week, if we get the green light, things will be in track. But if it's going to be knocked maybe a wee bit further on down the line, it's going to sort of cause problems and competitions, and there could be changes along the way. But I suppose the most important thing in the whole lot is to have championship at some stage this year.
Well, I think the big one, you know, and suppose what a lot of people are asking, Oisín, is at the minute is, if we do get the go-ahead next week, you feel that what will happen, will they go ahead with, you know, the league as it is? You know, people will sit down and make a decision, and you know, the way they've said, you know, the CCC from last year made the decision that there'd be a four team, dividing the two teams. The Division 1 will just say into 2-4s, where you have the four Ulster teams in one division, and then you've got, what, Galway, Roscommon, Kerry and Dublin in the other division. So, and the other part of Division 1. And will they do that? That'll mean everybody get three games, and then you'll have then the playoff to either be playing off for a relegation playoff, or you'll be playing off to get into the final of the league. So some teams will end up with five games or whatever. But I think that's if we get the go ahead next week, you'd think that, you know, you have that situation. Maybe there is another situation when people's going to look at, are we going to have a back door or not? So you feel if you're going to have a back door, you mightn't be able to play as many games in the league or whatever. So there's a lot of things to be sorted out. Some counties will want a back door. Some counties will be happy enough to go with exactly the same as we had last year. Nobody really knows yet what's going to happen, but you'd hope that if they do get the go-ahead, I think the big thing that I did say to you earlier, Oisín, is that we get all competitions played. And, you know, that's including maybe even, you know, the minor that wasn't played, finished last year in different places, and that we'll get the under-20 competition played as well this year.
Are you confident that we'll get a positive sort of direction from the government next week, Martin?
It's hard to know, Oisín. You know, the numbers are high so far and still high. And, you know, certainly somebody today was just saying that maybe that's from the point of view now that people are just turning up and getting themselves tested, you know, and doing that there. And there's more, the numbers are higher because of that reason and everything else. Yeah, hopefully we'd love to see football back, see them, you know, back. You know, what's been said up the north already is that, they're going back into pods to train in pods. First of all, that's the first thing they do. Then there's contact then after that. And then after that, there's games and that there. So you just hope that we will be able to get back and that teams will get back training. And then what, 3 or 4 weeks after that, you get into the competitive matches, especially from the point of view of county football and that there, to get that going first anyway. Because it looks like, you know, that we'll have to be in what, phase two, isn't it, Oisin? We'll have to be in before the clubs can come back to play and everything else. So I think from that point of view, they're going to try to probably looking at it, there's going to be county football played first. You're going to have, if it does get the go ahead, you'll have the National League, whatever form it's in, and then you'll have the Championship then after that, whatever form's it in, and then it'll go on to club football after that, Oisin, you feel. So that's what everybody's hoping for, but big decisions have to be made. You know, things will, all bets will be off if we don't get the go-ahead, if the GAA doesn't get the go-ahead next week.
Is that the right approach, county first, Martin, in your mind?
Well, at the minute, you really have no option because of the government and the phases there that you can't play club football and you can't have club football. But that from a GAA point of view, there's elite, you know, and it's great to see the League of Ireland Soccer, you know, back playing as well, you know. So I think it's important for everybody to try to get people back training and back playing if we can at all. I think that's the important thing. And, as I said earlier on, hopefully that'll happen.
Yeah. Can you understand, Martin, a frustration and an annoyance maybe with a club player, particularly from Donegal, Cavan and Monaghan, who are now sitting and going to watch their neighbours in the six counties, that they're allowed to get back to pods of 12. Now, it's not 100% concrete yet. We have to get a confirmation of it. I think it's on the 5th of April. But if they get that confirmation, as from the 12th, club football in the six counties, in Derry and Tyrone and the other four counties, can resume. Can you understand then how players in Donegal who have been waiting so long and are sort of doing their own training individually and not part of groups, that they're seeing what's going on in the six counties, that a lot of frustration there will be setting in and probably building?
Yeah, that's most understandable enough that there is, you know. But, you know, at least, you know, that, you know, this from the six counties point of view and from a GAA point of view, you know, if they do, you know, can get back training, I think it's great and everything else. The more players we can get back training, you know, from their point of view, the better. And that's the way it's looking. Yet, as you said, it's not confirmed yet or anything else. But at least they get back and as groups of 12 or whatever, back training and that there. And I think that, you know, that's the important thing, you know, even from mentally point of view and everything else. I think it's important enough. So I think it is frustrating for everybody, but the whole thing is very frustrating. And, you know, hopefully we can get players back training, get the games played and get, you know, hopefully get club football back and get club football back playing as well. It's just, hopefully we never see a couple of years like these couple of years that we've had. And we just have to do is everybody to do their best and try to get through it.
Yeah. Will the county final from last year be played this year, do you think, Martin?
Yeah, hopefully it will again. You know, hopefully that, as I said, if we get the go ahead next week, we can start planning. Everybody can start planning. The people and the fixtures in Donegal and that can start planning. But, you know, hopefully it will be played, that it'll be the first competition, because the GAA are very keen themselves to get all competitions played that wasn't finished last year, including, you know, the likes of the Ulster Minor Championship and that, and the All-Ireland Minor Championship. So I think they're keen to do that. So hopefully, you know, from Niamh Connell and Kilcare's point of view, that the county final will be able to play, that they'll be able to get it played maybe at the start. I know it's going to be very tight with fixtures and everything else, but hopefully we can, you know, they'll be able to get it fitted in and played, because I think it's important to play it, you know.
Yeah,
a lot of work from both teams actually to get there, you know, first place. And I think it's important, you know, it's a big thing for the two clubs and everything else, you know, that they wouldn't get the game played. So you'd hope that maybe we could start off by getting it played maybe at, you know, whenever club football goes back, you know.
Just finally then, Martin, how important is it that Donegal has a voice at CCCC level of Croke Park?
I'm not going to tell you yet how important it is, actually, I don't really know, but yeah, I think it's a good honour. I mean, there's been other great Donegal people that have represented the county in different committees in Croke Park and at high level and everything else. And, you know, I'll do my best to represent my club and the county as good as I can. And I'm really looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to see how the whole GA works, you know, the inner works of it. And that's what I'm really looking forward to seeing all that there. And I know it's a tough year and everything else. It's going to be a tough year for everybody, but I'm just looking forward to doing it. And I suppose it's something I always like to have been. I went for Central Council one other time and I didn't get there. So now I've got a chance to get in to see the inner workings of Croke Park and everything else. And I'm really looking forward to it. And hopefully I can represent the county and, as I said, the county and the club and the province with pride.
Martin, thanks for joining us, and the best of luck with, of course, your job on the CCCC at Croke Park, and hopefully we'll get football back real soon. We'll know more next week.
Thanks, Archie. Good talking to you.
Into the final section of the Score programme tonight, we're going to focus in on one of the Donegal jockeys who has had a very busy last number of years and continues along the apprentice route and, of course, hopes to make it to the big lights of flat racing in Ireland and, indeed, further afield as well. He's a young man, of course, who was on the ponies and at a very young age was seen as a jockey that could make it. And he's already made the step up under trainer Joseph O'Brien and continues to learn his trade and continues to build up the wins. That's young Dylan Brown McMonagall. Dylan, you're welcome to Highland Radio Sport once again.
Thanks very much for having me, Oisin.
Listen, delighted to have you on, Dylan. It was a very strange year last year under the pandemic, which has continued into this year as well. How's it been for you so far in 2021, dealing with everything going on at the moment?
It's going good at the minute. It's fairly basic for us. The only changes we have is there's no crowds at the racing, but apart from that, it's all fairly normal for us. But it's just there's no crowds to tear us home and walking into any people when we get a winner or anything. There's not as much atmosphere, but as long as we get the winners on the board, we'll be happy.
Yeah, and so far this year, you've got about 5 or 6 winners out of 40-hour rides. So are you happy enough with how the year has gone for you?
Everything's going good so far. We're just getting into the heart of it now. The grass season started last week, so I've been riding in Dundalk all winter, but I have had a few months off as well, injury and stuff. But we're back now in the summer, and hopefully we'll be kept busy now for the summer.
Yeah. How important is it to use the time on the all weather track and the likes of Dundalk as you prepare for moving over to the turf?
Yeah. Well, sure. It's on once a week, and it's better than being sitting at home doing no racing. So Dundalk's, it's a great track up there, and it's a very level playing field for everyone. The ground's the same every week, and it's a great place to have when you have no grass racing on during the winter.
Yeah, and I suppose it's a good place to meet up with fellow Donegal people as well, because there's a handful of yous there competing on the flat at the moment, and you seem to be in Dundalk every Friday, Dylan.
Yeah, sure. I see Oisin and Luke, and there's always a couple of riders up there, and the Donegal boys are always up there riding, so we see each other fairly often enough.
Yeah, and you guys all get on very well together, away from home.
We do indeed. We're all best friends, but sure, when we're racing then, we're the biggest enemies, but sure, we all get on well, which is the main thing.
Good stuff. Well, let's talk about this season. What's the targets for 2021? Obviously, this is a second term now for you in your apprentice. Where do you want to be come the end of the year? What's the target for you, Dylan?
There's no real targets, but sure, we'll just try and build as many contacts as we can and keep riding winners if we can. And sure, we'll just see how the year goes and hopefully ride plenty of winners.
Yeah, as one of those targets, you'll probably agree with me here that you want to be Apprentice Jockey of the Year. We've seen, of course, Oisin do that previously. Is that something that you want to get to?
Yeah, well, it's very competitive at the minute. There's loads of good young riders out there, so it's a long way away. It's at the end of the season, that comes into hand, but I'm sure we'll see how we get started off, and we'll worry about that when the time comes, but for a minute, we'll just keep a head down and keep riding as many winners as we can.
Yeah, already this year you've got 2 winners under Joseph O'Brien. He, of course, is your main trainer. What's it been like working with him in year 2?
That's very good. I couldn't ask for a better boss. He looks after everyone very well, and the yard's a very easy place to work in, and everyone gets on, so there's no complaints there.
Yeah. What other trainers do you work with? Because I know Joseph does let you go out and go under other trainers as well, don't?
Yeah, well, I write for a wide variety of people. I mean, Joseph's working full-time all the time, but there's loads of other trainers that use me all the time. Eddie Lynham would be very good to me. He supports me a lot, and Austin Leahy, and the list goes on. I'm just very lucky to get plenty of rides off outside trainers as well. But I'm in Joseph's full-time at the minute, working away.
Yeah, Grandmaster Flash, that's one of Joseph's horses. You've had a couple of ones on him this year?
I've won twice on Grandmaster Flash, Baron Dundalk, so he's been very good to me.
Yeah, and under Edward, you had a couple of ones as well. What was that horse?
I rode a winner for Eddie on Masterlight and Sister Lova.
Right, okay.
So they're two lucky ones for me this year.
Yeah, off the trainers and the horses that you're going to be in the next couple of weeks as you move to the turf, what do we have to keep an eye out for now?
I'm sure there's always plenty. We're only starting off now, so all the babies will be coming through. But we're only started off, so there's no real horses to look forward to yet. We're only getting started off yet. So once they get a run under the belt, then we'll know where we stand with what's coming through. So we'll just keep busy and get on the best horses we can, and so we'll just keep looking forward to them.
We mentioned Grandmaster Flash. Obviously, he's going to be moving over onto the turf as well. Is it a horse that likes the grass run?
Yeah, well, he favours Dundalk. He loves the surface in Dundalk, but he had a few very good runs last year on the grass as well, and he seems to be very consistent. So hopefully he can keep rolling the farm onto the grass now and get another few big handicaps maybe.
Yep. We did, of course, mention the Donegal boys. Oisín Orr is one of them. He was apprentice champion jockey previously, and he has been putting in some brilliant rides under Dermot Weld. He did, of course, win the St. Ledger last year in Ireland, one of the big five classics in the country. I'm sure you boys were all cheering him on during that day, but it's something that you would be dreaming of as well, is it, Dylan, to get to that level and become the likes of a classic winning jockey?
Yeah, well, days like that, they're what everyone aims for as a young rider, and if we could do as half as well as Oisín's doing, we'd be very well, but he deserves it. He works very hard, and it's nice to see a few Donegal jockeys doing very well. Luke McAteer had his first group winner last year as well in Leopardstown for his boss, Mr. Bulger, so it's great to see everyone getting on well.
Obviously, you're in the thick of your apprentice, but you did win the big race for the apprentice jockeys last year in the Derby. Take us back to that day, Dylan.
I won the apprentice Derby in the car last year on Tonkinee for Joseph. It was a great day out, and I've actually won a couple of times in Tonkinee since, so he's been a very lucky horse for me.
Yeah, and you'll be looking to repeat that, I'm sure, later in the year when the Derby comes about again.
Hopefully, sure. Hopefully, if we get on a good horse and get a ride in it, we'll take our chance.
Yeah. Listen, before I let you go, you might give us maybe a wee insight as to what the life is like of a young jockey working under somebody like Joseph O'Brien. Is it early starts for you, is it, Dylan?
Yeah, well, I usually get up at around 6 o'clock and work starts at 7. So we'd be in the yard and pack up the first horse and put them on the walker at 7 o'clock. And then we pull out at 7:20. And we could ride 5 or 6 lots out every day. And then, sure, when you're racing, then it depends how far away it is or what time you'd be leaving work. But on a normal day's work, then we finish up around 12:30, 1 o'clock. And then we'd be back in at 3 to 4:30 again. So it's fairly busy at the minute with loads of young horses getting ready for the turf. But when we're racing, then it depends how many lots we're going to be doing in the morning or where it is.
Yeah.
So if it was in Sligo, we mightn't even be able to do any lots. We could just be gone first thing in the morning up to Sligo, and we could be back late at night then and back into work the next morning. It just depends where about we're racing.
Yeah, you've been around horses, of course, since you were a very, very young lad. What's the most enjoyable thing of all this for you, Dylan?
Well, sure, the buzz you get when you're racing and walking into the winner's enclosures is definitely the best thing, but it's nearly like a drug at this stage, horses. It's something you'll never get out of once you get into.
Yeah. And how do you keep yourself in shape? What's that regime like?
Yeah, well, riding out in the morning, and then there's Joseph has a gym down here as well for us all, so we go in and use that as much as we can. So you have to keep at the top of your level as well and keep fit as you can.
Yeah, okay. Well, listen, it's good to talk to you. So does Dylan, and all we can do is wish you the best of luck in the coming weeks as you get back onto the turf once again. You're in Dundalk on Friday tomorrow. So how many rides do you have tomorrow before you go on? And can you give us a tip on who we can watch out for?
I have three rides in Dundalk tomorrow. I have one for Tony Martin, first man's his name. He ran nicely the last day, so hopefully he can progress on and run a nice race tomorrow. I ride a filly called Russian River for Joseph. She's won up there before, so hopefully she can go and win again. But it's very competitive racing up there. I ride Darkest Hour for Sarah Lynham in the fence race as well. He was second, and he's just touched off the last day, so hopefully he can go one better as well. But there's a few good rides up there, so hopefully I might pick up one.
Hopefully so. Listen, Dylan, best of luck. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much, Ashton, for having me. Thank you.
And that's it from another edition of The Score programme. You can, of course, recap the show by going to the sports section of highlandradio.com. I'll be back with our next bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news. So until then, as always, enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.
Sport on Highland brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up on all the training essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie with nationwide next day delivery.